Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Wendy, I'm home.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last?
That's what I made you. You did.
I lied.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Movies to Drink To. I'm Finn.
I'm Mr. Smith.
How you doing? Yeah, cool.
Right, yeah, good.
Good,
thanks.
Pleasant trees.
Talking to them.
Oh yeah, hi.
They can't talk back. How are we?
Comments? I'm really sad. Don't. Today we're going to take you on a journey to a world where Harrison Ford is the president of the United States of America.
Yep.
Literally says that like on the poster. It's like Harrison Ford is the president of the United States of America. Selling point. Air Force One, that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
Before we go on, don't forget to like and subscribe. If you're listening to this instead of watching it on YouTube, why not do both? But you can subscribe on YouTube because there's more stuff on there, like a review of The Batman, which we just did. Yeah, check all that out.
Or you can start arguments with us on Twitter.
Yes. If you're a massive racist, head over to our Twitter and just fucking let us have it, man. Just come on. Come on.
The Lord of the Rings fans were not happy. Well, no. One particular one was
one incel was not happy about our comments on the Lord of the Rings fans. Fuck them. Where we get to?
Air Force One, 1997.
Air Force One from 1997, directed by Wolfgang Petersen, who got his big break doing Das Boot.
Yes.
Which translates to the boat. So this is Das Plane.
Das Plane.
Das Plane. It stars Harrison Ford, Gary Oldman, Glenn Close, Wendy Crewson, Xander Berkeley, William H. Macy, and Dean Stockwell.
Yes, the guy from Quantum Leap.
What was he in something else that we talked about recently?
Dune. He was in the...
the 84 version of Dune. Yeah. Yes.
He was the doc.
The plot beeth.
The plot beeth. I have got it, but hang on. Right, the plot beeth. Communist radicals hijack Air Force One with the US president and his family on board. The vice president negotiates from Washington, D.C., while the president, a veteran, fights to rescue the hostages on board.
Fuck yeah! The music that plays over the opening credits is very, America.
And the minute that starts, I was like, this needs to calm the fuck down already.
Have you seen this before?
Yeah, a long time ago. This is probably only the second time I've ever seen this film, and the first time was probably not long after it came out. But yeah, instantly the music... I was like, should this not be at the end? Like, it's very sort of... very patriotic.
Yeah, the music's by Jerry Goldsmith.
Right.
Who I don't think's very good.
Right.
If I'm honest.
I mean,
he's done many films.
Yeah, many films.
But I'm not a fan... really, of his work. He did, I think he did The Mummy.
Right.
And he did Deep Rising before that. And the music in Deep Rising just does not fit. Anyway, that's just my personal opinion. I don't rate him. Anyway. So yeah, the film starts with a bunch of American army people jumping out of a plane and they are parachuting into a compound. Which is in Kazakhstan, which is guarded. But these guards have got a bit of the Arkham Knight syndrome. They can't look up. Are you telling me you cannot see like those 15 people,
a big white parachute,
coming down? It's like no one sees them. They just land on the roof. No issues. Like no one. So
did anyone pack the night parachutes? No, we've only got the white ones. Oh fuck. Well, luckily they won't look up, so it doesn't matter
just
too much.
Just tilt your head. Like, nope. No one sees them. You see the guards on the roof, and they don't spot them like coming directly down on them.
Surely that's like right. You guys have got to be on the roof. Don't forget to look up.
He's always telling me what to do.
You're there to guard from people coming from above.
Christ. Oh yeah, so these people break, they're some kind of elite super Navy SEAL team, and they break into this compound and they kidnap some dude.
Yes.
3 weeks later in Moscow. Turns out the guy they kidnapped was a self-proclaimed leader of Kazakhstan.
Yes.
Yakshamesh. Couldn't help it. And the effort to kidnap him was a joint effort by the Americans and the Russians.
Yeah.
They're friends in this film.
Yes, they are. I mean, you say friends. It's like Russia's like, we love America. America is the best.
Yeah.
It's a world away from today. Like, to be honest, within the first 2 minutes of that speech that the Russian president is giving, I was like, I'm uncomfortable. It's like, I'm here with my great friend, the American, like, he's a hero. Yeah. Like, the American president, I love him. I'm going to touch his hair. It is weird.
Yeah, so Harrison Ford has said he's the president of the United States, and he gives a little speech.
Well, he gets up and he mumbles in Russian, first of all.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a real mumble as well, because yeah. Like, the whole room is like, hmm?
And excuse me, he gives a speech talking about like the what went down in Kazakhstan, and he's basically saying, we acted too late.
Well, he goes off script, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like, and
we
like,
just watched a war on the news and we acted too late. We should have done something sooner. You know, like, ooh, this is a bit...
Yeah, this is timely.
Yeah, oh dear. Ooh. Also, he sounds incredibly bored giving this speech.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford seems bored throughout all of this film, if I'm honest. He's really just like... Anyway.
She's too old for this shit.
Yeah. Cut to Air Force One, and Gary Oldman is checking in.
Yeah.
Looking guilty as shit already.
Absolutely.
He just
and instantly... The minute they turn up, like any security, like CIA or whatever worth their salt would have been like, no, I don't think so. And they would have been, why is one of your men Spider-Man's shitty landlord from the
yes,
Sam Raimi
that's him,
films?
Isn't it? Yes. I was thinking, who was that? Yeah, he looks shifty. He's posing, him and his boys are posing as a news crew.
Yeah.
To get onto Air Force One. Andrew Divoff is one of his team, the Wishmaster.
Oh.
Yeah. But they get on, they get through security.
Not only do they get on, they get a fucking tour of
the
plane.
They get a tour.
They're the only people to get a tour of Air Force One is the terrorists.
Yeah. The press secretary gives them a tour. The idea is this news crew are going to fly from Moscow on Air Force One with them to the United States. And they're going to get to interview the president for something like 10 minutes and some other people, and they get a tour and all that. This would never happen in real life.
It seemed like this.
The one reason is it's really impractical, because when they get to the States, how are the press team going to get back? It's like, can we get a ride back? Like, no. Oh, okay. Hey, seems a bit pointless, really, doesn't it?
Got to pay your own way back. You've got to fly like coach.
So they're on board now. And then the president arrives, he gets on board, and he seems more interested in the ball game.
Yeah, he wants to watch the football game.
Yep.
But he gets on, and he's signing stuff or whatever, and he turns around to the pilot and goes, change of plan, let's go to Barbados. I bet he says that every fucking time
he gets on.
Ha, they're like, ha, 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 Mr. President, you're such a card. You jester. They're literally like, whatever you like, Mr. President, you are the president.
Oh, I
Mr.
wish
President.
You, yeah. I wish I was. You are. It's a terrible line of dialogue.
It's awful.
The back and forth is terrible. He gets on board, but people are asking him things and telling him things and getting, because you know, he's the president.
Yeah.
All he wants to do is watch the football game.
And he keeps avoiding. People keep like, they're about to tell him about it, and he's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, and then this one guy comes out and tells him the score.
Yeah.
And like, what you don't see is he has him killed instantly off screen. Like, because he's the president. I don't know if you.
Also, when they board, we meet some of the other like staffers, and there's like obviously Secret Service. And there's this one Secret Service guy who is just so shifty looking.
Yeah.
Straight away, you're like, he's up to something.
Yeah.
Like, just instantly. He's like, the look on his face, like, no, nah, it's like Gary Oldman earlier. Yeah. Like, he's definitely up to something, that bloke, isn't he? Then his wife and daughter arrive late. I don't know where they've been.
But... they've been to the ballet, I think he says. He's like, how's the ballet?
Yeah, they get on board. Then they go like, oh, go find dad. And he's passed out, possibly drunk. He's just asleep. And next to him is like a champagne glass.
Yeah.
And then they wake him up, and then he starts drinking a beer.
Yeah. This president's got alcohol issues, alcohol dependency issues.
So
his daughter starts going on about, she says, why didn't you take me to the refugee camps?
Yeah.
Like, it's not a zoo.
Yeah.
she's like, I'm old enough to see these things. It's a refugee camp.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to go there. What's
adults don't
want to
go. Yeah. What the hell's wrong with you, child?
You're a small, tiny female Hitler. Like, fucking calm down.
So anyway, the plane takes off. And then the president, and they're in like this, the conference room?
Yeah, there is a bit, there's a little bit of a close-up with a guy with his a briefcase handcuffed to him that looks like it could be important.
That's the launch codes.
I know, but you don't find that out until later. Like, literally, this guy, you sort of see him, you go, ooh, and then minutes later, he's dead.
Yeah, they're they're having a meeting in the conference room talking about Saddam Hussein back when he was still alive. William H. Macy is there as an army colonel, which is just the most unconvincing casting ever. You can only believe William H. Macy is a colonel in the army. Come on.
Yeah, I love William H. Macy, but this is, I mean, he clearly did this for a paycheck.
And then the guy from earlier, the Secret Service guy who is shifty looking as
Xander Berkeley.
Yeah.
I don't know who he plays in this, Gibbs? But that's his name.
Agent Gibbs.
Agent Gibbs
is the shifty one.
Yeah.
He starts acting really shifty. And he shoots a couple of dudes, his fellow Secret Service people.
He's like, here's some stuff to read. Bang.
Yeah. Then he lets off a smoke grenade and he opens up the plane's arsenal.
Yeah.
Yep. And this is when Gary Oldman and the boys spring into action. And they get the guns out of the arsenal and just start fucking shooting loads of guys from Washington.
Yeah.
And it all kicks off.
Well, this is, I have to ask. I mean, I know this is Air Force One and I know there's supposed to be a certain level of security because the president is on there and stuff. But why are there so many automatic weapons on that
plane?
There
are a lot of guns.
A lot of guns. Yeah. And, like, tear gas canisters, flak jackets. I mean, this seems to me like occasionally they're out in Air Force One and they'll stop off at a smaller country and enforce some of, like, the US foreign policy on
Introduce
them.
Introduce capitalism.
Like, just
and
take
then,
it over and then get back on the plane. There's a lot of guns.
Yeah, considering nobody on there is supposed to be bad.
Well, yeah. Why do you need that? Like, I refuse to believe, like, unless it was Trump's Air Force One, that there is a secret little cupboard with like a whole fucking arsenal to
arm a small
fucking military unit.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's all kicking off. They're fucking shooting people left, right, and center. Some Secret Service people burst in and they grab the president because that's what you do.
Yep. They manhandle him. Yeah. Like,
and he's like, "What about my family? Yeah. Like, you're the president. Fuck your family." You're the president. This is our job.
Yeah.
We're literally paid to do this and we'll die to do this.
What about my family? Oh, your family, the president? Yeah. No, they're not, Mr. President.
Yeah. We are your family.
Yeah. Family are gone now. We are your family.
So, yeah, it's all. And then the pilots are like, oh, fuck, and hitting the fucking SOS buttons. And they get through to Ramstein, which is an air base, not just a band.
Not a German rock metal band.
It's a real air base, a US air base in Germany. And they've radioed them, so they're like, oh shit, they're alert. Like, so they get ready because that's the nearest airbase, and they send off a load of jets to intercept it.
Yeah.
And then they drag the president to an escape pod, which they throw him in and eject.
Yeah.
But everyone there gets shot except for him.
Everyone dies.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Washington, they've got news of this, and Glenn Close springs into action.
Yeah, Glenn Close is another one who looks like, I mean, she's far above this film.
I think she was last minute casting.
Was it?
Yeah, someone dropped out, I think.
It does seem like she doesn't really. She does her best with what she's given, which isn't like all the way through this film. You just think every time she's on screen, you're like, you're better than this, Glenn.
Yeah. So back up in the air, Gary Oldman is trying to get into the cockpit because the plane is landing at Ramstein. And you can't have that because if it lands, you're fucked. So he shoots his way in. No, he blows up the door, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, and then he shoots the pilot, because that's a sensible thing to do.
Yeah.
Shoots, kills the pilots. But it's okay, because Spider-Man's landlord can fly a plane, apparently.
Yeah, so before he was Spider-Man's landlord, he learned how to fly all sorts of aircraft.
Yeah, so the plane does pretty much land, but they've killed the pilot, so Spider-Man's landlord gets it back in the air, and it swerves around the fucking airbase loads. It's like, planes that size can't do that, can they? It's like
they
squealing
can
like a
in
car.
GTA 5. Yeah. Yeah, not in real life.
And looks like the Spider-Man's landlord gets it back up in the air and they take off again, leaving all the Americans at the airbase to just pull derp faces at the camera.
Yeah.
Like, ooh. Just staring at it.
Yeah, like
it
a whole crowd of people.
They've all gathered there on the runway, just go, ooh, as it's taken off. Yeah, it turns out they're going to take the plane home to Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
Miyakshamash. Gary Oldman's pissed off, though, because the president got out in the pod.
Yeah, the president legged it.
Yeah.
Like a pussy.
So he's going to use the wife and daughter.
Yeah.
As leverage now to get what he wants. Back at Ramstein, though, they locate the pod. And Harrison Ford, the president, isn't in it.
No.
No, somehow.
But luckily, he has chosen this exact moment to climb out from his hiding space. He's literally been hiding somewhere again. They'll probably be finding the pod now. And out I go. Dramatic effect.
He definitely got in that thing.
Well, actually, when you watch it...
Apparently...
Well, actually, sorry. To be that guy. Like, when you watch it, like, just before they put him in it, and they go to slam the door, and the door doesn't close. It kind of bounces open again.
Right.
Because I was like, oh, is that a fuck-up? Because then the next time you see it, the door is shut. But, I mean, it's obviously where they think they've locked him in, and they haven't, and he's just,
oh,
like,
I thought there was...
Again.
When the guy with the briefcase gets shot, you can see him climbing out
in
the background. Apparently, I read it. I didn't go back and rewatch it.
Yeah.
But
I didn't see that. All I noticed was the door not close. It sort of bounces open again. And I thought it was just shoddy set building. But then I was like, oh, now that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, Gary Oldman makes a phone call to Glenn Close, the vice president. Basically, he goes on this rant. He wants to rebuild the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
And he wants the kidnapped dictator released.
Yes.
Yes. And he's saying to this, so he's on the phone to them in Washington. They're all gathered around a table. And there's a guy sat there, and right in front of him, like a massive bottle of whiskey. Did you spot that?
No, I didn't see that.
They're all there in like the situation room or whatever. And one guy's just got a massive bottle of whiskey in front of him. Like, he's got the right idea.
That's kind of shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to drink through it.
They get news that he's not in the pod. And Dean Stockwell, who is the...
Al from Quantum Leap. No, he's the Secretary of State.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but is this where he starts to? It's like he wants to be in charge all the time.
Well, he automatically assumes that the president is dead.
Yeah.
Then somebody mentions that he was a Medal of Honor winner.
Yeah,
he was in Vietnam. And
that's
he,
it. Yeah, because this guy. Yeah, it sounds weird as well. He's like, do you win medals of honor? Like, it's like it's a race or a competition.
No,
or you awarded them. Like, he goes, this guy's a Medal of Honor winner. He says, like, in Vietnam, he flew more heli missions than any man under his command or something.
Yeah.
It goes, and that's the first time somebody says, if he's up there, he's the best chance we have.
Yeah. But Stockwell assumes he's dead. And Dean Stockwell wants to shoot the plane down.
Yeah.
And there's this kind of power struggle. Like, I'm in charge.
Well, if the president is out of action, wouldn't the vice president then be in charge? But he keeps saying, like, if the president is dead, then I'm in charge and I'm the Secretary of State.
It's confusing.
It's well confusing.
It's all sort of actually based on a real event. There was a power struggle after Ronald Reagan was shot.
Right.
In an attempted assassination. And apparently, yeah, there was this big hoo-ha between, like, the Secretary of State and the vice president at the time.
Yeah.
Still not totally clear. You got a trigger Article 25. It's complicated.
Fuck those.
Yeah, I can't bother look into it. So yeah, like I said, back on the plane though, the president is he's still there.
Yeah, sneaking.
He's sneaking. Yes, he's sneaking around a lot, and he kills his first terrorist.
Yeah, he lures him into the room by turning the football up.
Yeah,
it's the longest game. Actually, American football is fucking days long anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, this game's been going on this entire time, and he turns it up, and the guy looks in and goes, "That's strange." And then the president attacks. He surprise attacks him, and they fight noisily as fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's a big plane, but I mean, they're smashing shit. He pile drives him, and then he eventually knocks him the fuck out with a stool that even goes clang. Like, all the sound effects for punches is like fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger punching trees in this. Everything's like, dish! But yeah, there's a really loud fight. But then once this guy's unconscious, he's like, and just checks to see if anyone's heard, and no one has.
Also, when he's sneaking around, when he goes into his office, before he turns the TV up on the football game, he does like pause and look at the TV, and he kind of got this look in his eye like, I might just watch the game.
Yeah.
I might just sit and watch the game. But, I don't really want to deal with any of this.
Is it nearly finished? I could just watch it. Oh, no, it's American football. It's still fucking 3 days left.
Yeah. So he kills his first terrorist, and now he has a machine gun. Ho, 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 now I have a machine gun, yeah. And he sneaks back downstairs. Back to his little hidey spot.
Down into the luggage. Yeah, a lot of this film does take place in the baggage compartment.
Yeah, it does. It's a very big baggage compartment, though. So it's then revealed the Russians, they won't release the dictator.
No.
The vice president makes a phone call to the Russian president.
Yeah.
Can you release him? He's like, I can't help you.
No, him and Al from Quantum Leap are like, we should definitely shoot the plane down.
Yeah.
Like, kill everybody on there. I mean, there's only what? They keep saying there's like 50 people on there.
Yeah.
Like, there's like 50 compared to like the world.
Like, yeah. It doesn't mean the end of the world.
Isn't this guy that they're on about, like, he's got nuclear weapons or something? Or like, and if they had to stop him now because he could have triggered like a World War III sort of scenario.
Possibly.
Yeah, I think that was
that was their thinking. Yeah. Okay, so they got this plan that they're going to take all the, they're going to send in the army into Kazakhstan to take over all the possible landing sites of the plane, which seems like a big effort. Especially when Gary Oldman has said, we're going to kill someone every 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Can we do that in half an hour?
Isn't even Glenn Close is like, I mean, seems like a lot, and it could be messy. They figure out that somebody's on the plane, don't they? And then they like, because it turns out that the guy that the president killed is like Gary Oldman's best mate ever.
I thought it was later on.
No, was that not now?
No, it's later, I think.
I thought that was before they murder the hostage. Yeah, because he's like, he tells them that fucking, if they don't find who did it, then he's going to kill them as well.
Yeah, maybe.
Which seems unpractical. I mean, he has like lots of hostages and only a few men.
Yeah.
And if he starts killing his own men.
Yeah, you can't get more.
Yeah.
Send in more.
Go into the hostages. Does anyone want to be on my side now? Because I've had to kill a few. But yeah, then they decide they're going to murder a hostage.
Yeah, because time's up. Half an hour's gone. They said, so who's it going to be? It's the National Security Advisor.
Well, he picks himself.
In a way,
kind of steps forward and he's like, listen, I mean, I'm the guy that gets things.
Yeah, you know, like, you're talking to the vice president. She can't do shit.
Yeah, if anybody wants football tickets, they come to me. Yeah. I'm the guy.
Bang.
Like, yeah, shake the head. And I was like, thank fuck for that. He would have been the first one I picked as well, to be honest.
Yeah. Never put your head above the water.
No.
Meanwhile, the president is downstairs shifting through people's luggage.
It's like, now's the time to get some nice shiny new things.
Yeah. And he finds a phone, which he has to read the instruction manual to figure out how to. It's a phone.
His face though.
What is this? What is the instruction manual? Oh.
It's like his face as he like opens it up. He's like.
And then there's this, I think there's a brief scene, is there a Gary Oldman's talking to the daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And he mentions he's got kids.
Yeah.
Just like, you'll think I'm a monster. I have a child.
This is the first time you've seen a man killed, isn't it? No, you killed a bunch of people in front of her.
Yeah.
Earlier on. But yeah, and then just the whole, I'm a monster.
Yeah, you always think I'm a monster. Your father's a monster. I have kids, you know. It's like, okay. Don't really care, Gary Oldman, about your family, you fucking prick.
This is the bit where he says to them, like, she won't speak to him. He goes, tell her to answer, and she's going to leave her alone. And he goes, shut up! In the most London accent ever.
Yeah. I'm not the monster. Tell her to speak to shut up! Yeah, totally fucking forgets where he is. So anyway, back downstairs. The president can't remember the phone number for the White House.
Oh, it's fantastic. He's there.
Like, what's the number?
What's the number? For Nixon.
Yeah. He finally gets through to some wise-ass Karen on the other end of the phone. It's like, oh, yeah. You're the president, are you? I am the fucking president.
This is like, just go through your Pentagon. And she's like, oh, you want to make a federal case out of it? And she just taps a couple of buttons, like that's all it takes to trace a call. Like, ding, ding. And she's like, oh, Mr. President. Yeah.
But Andrew Divoff had found him. Mm. Yeah. And so he's like, you know, put your hands up. So the president puts the phone, the still live phone, in his pocket.
Yeah.
Whilst Andrew Divoff is sort of taking him hostage. But the call is put through to the Situation Room in the White House. And he says, so he's kind of talking to Divoff, but also talking to them on the phone. Yeah. Yeah, he's like, this is the President of the United States. And all the people on the other end of the phone go, yay! Surely you'd hear them in the phone in his pocket, like, what's that in your pocket? And he's like, ooh.
It's only a one-way phone. I can't hear them.
They're all yelling down the phone. Like, oh, but he doesn't hear. Andrew Divoff does not hear that.
Mr. President, shut up.
I shouldn't require it.
So glad you're alive.
And he basically gives a message to fire a missile at the plane, because the whole time since Ramstein, they've had these jets escorting them.
Yeah.
And the president is saying, like, if you fire a missile at the plane, there's so many, like, this thing's built like a fucking tank, and there's like all these anti-defense countermeasures, that's the word.
Avoidance countermeasures or something, like, yeah. Robot.
All
shit.
It would do, basically, he wants them to rock the plane around so he can take out Andrew Divoff.
Yeah.
Which seems risky to just to fire a missile.
One guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do, because they build this up earlier on when they're giving the terrorists a tour, and they're like, this is built to withstand like a nuclear, nuclear explosion. I mean, it seems unlike. I mean, obviously, Air Force One has got to be like
pretty tough.
Pretty tough.
Yeah.
But tough enough to have a full-on gunfight inside it.
Yeah. No one hits a window.
No, not at all.
Or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do. They fire a missile at the and it does all the things he says it will, and the plane rocks about. So he fights Andrew Divoff, and kills him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then he finally gets on the phone to the Situation Room, and he's saying,
and they,
like,
explain the plot to him so far.
Yeah. And he's like, we've got a job to do. Ball to the hostages. You give a mouse a cookie.
Yeah. Close, cause he's going to want a glass of milk.
Yeah.
I was like, what does that mean?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure, like, how you can see on Harrison Ford's face as well. He's like, do I have to? And he's like, oh. If you give a mouse a cookie.
She's like,
such a stupid line.
It is a dumb line. But I think he's just kind of saying, like, blow us up, I think.
Yeah.
I don't quite remember.
Well, I think it's supposed to be like, it's the same as like, give them an inch, they'll take a mile.
Yeah.
Which probably would have been better.
Yeah.
At least everyone knows what that means. And there's a weird bit just after that as well, where like, he looks at, because he's had a fight with that guy, and he looks in the fridge and picks up a milk carton and stares at it.
Yeah, like he's because he gets the idea about dumping the fuel.
That's it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That makes sense now.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, we're staying with the milk thing.
Yeah. So anyway, back upstairs in the sort of cockpit control room, Gary Oldman says this line: "The man downstairs evades us." Evade you? He's downstairs. You know exactly where he is. It's not like Die Hard where they don't know where in the building is. Yeah. He's downstairs. You know where he is. There's fucking 10 of you. Go. There's only one hatch in and out. Just go and kill him.
Yeah.
Go and get him.
It's a plane.
Yeah. Like, they're just like, what shall we... How can we get to him? I don't know. Just go get him.
There's only one way in and out.
Yeah.
Just put somebody up top of the stairs, send everybody else downstairs, shoot him, the end.
Yeah. No, don't want to do that. So, but what they do is they do a Die Hard.
Yeah.
Similar situation in Die Hard, where Gruber is trying to goad McClane out by using Ellis over the phone. They do pretty much the same thing, but with the tour guide from earlier.
Yeah.
And doesn't work. They shoot her.
Yeah, she's like, everybody likes you, right? And she's like, I guess so. She's like sitting there thinking, fucking, I've been too nice. Yeah. Fucking life. I probably have been a dick.
Maybe I could have joined you if I was a massive prick.
So if they had me up there, so everybody likes you. No. Not at all. I'm a fucking dick.
Yeah, the president doesn't reveal himself, doesn't come out of his hidey hole, which they could have just gone in and easily got him.
Yep.
And she's killed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, in the conference room where all the hostages are, there's all these army people, all this army personnel just sat there like, oh, what can we do? Yeah. I don't know. Strategize? You're like supposed to be the best military minds in the country. And you're just sat there like, oh, nothing we can do.
I mean, there's quite a few of us. We could just band together and maybe fight. No. Not to, and isn't there a point?
We know this plane better than them. Oh, no, nothing we can do.
Just after this, one of them actually says the line along the lines of, they're going to start killing more important people soon.
Yeah.
And it might be me.
Yeah, he does. I'm worried it's going to be me. Like, you're not that important. Shut up.
Yeah. But that's when they're talking about, like, because that guy goes like, fucking, who is this guy downstairs? Because they don't know it's the president.
Yeah.
And William H. Macy is like, well, whoever it is, because they're like, he let her die. And like William H. Macy says, like, he's somebody who's smart enough to know if you're hunting with only one bullet, you wait for a clean shot. And then it's the second time somebody says, whoever that is down there may be our only hope.
Christ. So after Gary Oldman has killed the tour guide, does he then turn to the daughter again? He's like, I bet you think I'm a monster. Like,
yeah.
Again with this. Look,
doesn't care what anybody else thinks, just this 12-year-old.
Yeah. Do you like me?
Yeah.
Do you think I'm a good man?
Well, we want to be friends.
You think I'm a bad man? I'm not. I've got kids too. So you just executed with, no, yeah. I don't have to.
How could children do it? They hate me.
Yeah. Doesn't mention that he murdered his children
because
they weren't communist. So anyway, the president has come up with a plan. He's going to dump some fuel, which seems unwise, on a plane.
Yeah,
I guess for the idea he's going to try and force it
to land.
So he's on the phone to a guy at a computer. He's going to tell him how to dump the fuel.
But this is probably one of the stupidest bits in this whole film.
The phone runs out of battery.
Yeah.
So he's for some reason, in order to dump fuel, which is a thing you can do apparently, it might be, I don't know, you need to...
It's the old diffusing a bomb.
Yeah, you got to like take all these wires out and cross these wires. Like, isn't there just a button for this? Well, apparently
the
not.
The wires are green, yellow,
red, white, and blue. Yeah.
So he's already been told to cut the green one.
Yeah.
Then the phone... the battery runs out. Yeah. He's like, what? Then he looks at it and he goes, counting on you, red, white, and blue, and then cuts the yellow one and then twists them together, and that works.
Yeah,
it's like that. See, you don't need like aeronautical engineering at all. What you need is fucking sheer patriotism.
Yeah.
And that'll get you through.
It's fucking hilarious. It's like, yeah, it's any classic kind of bomb diffusing scene. But with less risk. Like, the tension is not there, really.
Yeah, it's just the dumbest fucking... I mean, this whole fucking film is that, but this is just... Yeah, that is the dumbest point, I think, in this whole film.
So then, Spider-Man's landlord, who's flying the plane,
he
notices that they're losing fuel. So Gary Oldman's like, go downstairs and take one guy with you.
Yeah. Now... At this point, isn't Spider-Man shitty landlord the only one who can fly the plane?
Yeah.
And they're like, why don't you stop flying the plane and go downstairs, potentially put yourself at risk?
Yeah. There's a man down there killing our men. Yeah. Let's take the one person that can fly and send him down there. Or we'll give you one other person. Why don't you all go and kill him? This could have been over.
Why doesn't
fucking ages
everyone
ago?
Everyone go, kill him, and then I'll go down and sort out what I have to sort out.
I'll fly the plane while you all go and get him.
Yeah.
Never mind. So he's gone down there, and Gary Oldman gets on the blower, and he wants to refuel midair.
Yes,
which is actually a thing you can do.
Yeah, it's very much. But they make it sound like Air Force One is the only plane that can do this. Like, I've read that the Air Force One can refuel midair. Lots of planes can refuel midair. But okay,
they go down. They stop the fuel leak, basically, don't they? The dumping of the fuel.
Yeah, they stop. Yeah, and then
But the president has gotten back up top by duping one of the terrorists, who he is now technically the president is kind of holding him at gunpoint.
Yeah, he's taken one of the terrorists hostage.
Yeah, but he's let him keep his gun.
Yeah.
So they go, but the pilot And the other guy, they get back up and they see this bloke and like, everything okay? He's like, yeah. But he's got, they can't see the president is pointing a gun at him. But he's got a gun.
Yeah.
And the president's let him keep his gun.
Yeah.
So, but whatever.
It is weird. And then, but when they do get into the room, though, they do take the gun off him.
Yeah.
And they give it to...
the shifty guy.
Riggs. Riggs?
Briggs.
Briggs.
Gibbs.
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 They give it to Gibbs. And it's like, oh, mistake. Because we know he's on the other side.
Yeah.
But I mean, he is biding his time.
Yeah.
Playing the long game.
He really is. So, yeah, he gets into the... president gets into the conference room with his hostage now.
Yeah,
where everyone is, and
it is worth mentioning that since he managed to give all the terrorists all the guns, he's now gone back to
being a hostage. Oh yeah, the shifty guy's playing hostage.
Yeah, very long game here. Like,
yeah,
you're just like, ooh, any minute now.
Yeah,
but yeah, so yeah, they come up with a plan.
Yeah, William H. Macy has a plan, and they're going to parachute out.
Yeah, they're going to give everyone a parachute.
Yep,
from the tail cone.
Yep.
But they need to drop to 15,000 feet and 200 knots.
Yeah.
So,
but first they have to send a fax.
That's fucking... I love that as well. Like, but they're like, oh, well, we can't ring them because like all the phones are disabled and your ones run out of battery.
But the fax is on a
different line.
They
should be able to use
line.
The fax machines because they're on a different line.
Yeah. They're going to fax the White House to tell the refueling plane to tell Air Force One to drop to 15,000 feet and a certain speed so it's safe for them to parachute out of the back.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's what's happening. How do they get to the back? Well, they've got the one guy guarding it as a hostage, so it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
I swear there were more of these like terrorists earlier.
Gary probably killed some of them.
Yeah, probably. So they send a fax, which no one reads at first.
No, yeah,
you never actually see anyone read that fax.
Actually, the biggest point of tension in this whole film is where Harrison Ford and that woman go to send it. They write out the fax and they put it in and then they press the button and, like,
nothing happens.
And then it goes through. Yeah. And, oh, thank God.
But then it gets to the like situation room and it just comes out of a fax machine that's like in the back that no one's paying attention to.
It's a fax machine.
Yeah, they're all like squabbling around and talking. But you never see anyone pick up that fax and read it.
No, not at one point. Even when we get to the point where it's definitely been acknowledged, you still never see anybody pick that fucking piece of paper up.
So, yeah, that this fax gets sent to the White House, where Glenn Close is freaking out because CNN are running a story. They think the plane has crashed.
Yeah.
Why she's freaking out, I don't know. It's like, well, it hasn't.
Yeah.
Why don't you just tell them, no, it's not?
Yeah, they handle it all really badly.
They really do.
Like,
she makes
just
it.
Just tell them no. Just tell them.
She
that
makes
didn't
it really way worse by calling a press conference and telling them the plane has not crashed. It's been hijacked.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what? Why?
They could have just kept it quiet and just been like, nothing's happening. Everything is good. But no, yeah.
But
there's
also
been no plane crash, but there are men with guns that have our presence.
And also, the terrorists on the plane are watching the press conference, who at this point still think the president is alive. And they're like,
oh, yeah.
How come the vice president's giving a press... Where's the president? Is he...
Could he be the man downstairs?
But no, they think, is he dead?
Yeah. Oh, that was it, yeah.
Yeah, because they're like, why aren't we seeing the president? So she's tipped them off that something's not quite right as well. Fucking idiot.
Terribly handled.
Yeah,
and Al from Quantum Leap is now calling other people in to be like, "You'd like it if I was in charge, wouldn't you?"
Yeah, such a piece
why don't you
of
go
shit.
And talk to some other people and see if they'd like it if I was in
charge?
See
how many signatures we can get.
Yeah, it's like this is not the time.
Apparently, it is the perfect time. So the refueling plane arrives, and
this is where we know that the fax has been seen
because they're trying to get the plane to drop down.
Because the plane drops down
also,
and slows to 200 knots.
In the parachute bay, it's very handy that there is an altitude monitor fixed to the wall right by the door.
That's where you keep one.
Yeah, not in the cockpit. So why is it there?
And William H. Macy teaches everyone how to use a parachute in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
He's like, basically, you pull this. If that doesn't work, you pull that. Everyone got it? They're like, yeah.
But the president doesn't want to go because his family's still on board.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With Gary
Oldman. Still got his
I'm not going about my family. But and there's some other guys that they're like, oh, we'll stay with you. We stay with the president.
Yeah, one of which is Briggs.
Yeah.
Gibbs.
The shifty guy.
Who cares? Xander Berkeley. Yeah. That's who he is.
The shifty guy is like, yeah, well, he doesn't say he's staying. He's just
like, yeah, yeah, I'll stay. Because my big moment's coming.
Also, but surely if you were him, you're like, this might go wrong. I could get out of this right now.
Could just jump.
Yeah. But no, he doesn't. He stays. Idiot.
Yeah, and then as they're jumping out the plane, it all of a sudden looks like something out of like a Monty Python animation. Like these like fucking, they're like parachuting, but they're all rigid like, as they fly around. And then you get sort of a few close-ups of the happiest looking people in the world, like, whee!
We're landing in the Atlantic, yay!
Gonna freeze to death and die.
I suppose they're not in the Atlantic, they're probably over somewhere like Iran or something. Yeah, I don't know where they are.
So, yeah, where they land could be worse than being on the fucking plane.
Yeah. Just land in a desert.
Fax lady is one of the people that just floats serenely past the camera, like, having the time of her fucking life.
We'll just land in, like, I don't know, a lion enclosure in a zoo somewhere, and they're just mauled to death and eaten.
One of them just lands in a wood chipper somewhere.
Yeah. It's like Deadpool 2.
Brad Pitt gets electrocuted.
Yeah. Oh, Christ. One of the terrorists, he sees what's going on and shoots the door of the parachute bay, which causes the whole fucking...
Yeah, all of a sudden, which wasn't happening already.
Oh, because the door was shut, wasn't it?
Yeah. So it was all safe.
Yeah.
So yeah,
a bunch of people get sucked out the back.
Yeah, at least two people die of bad special effects.
Yeah. And the president is hanging out the back of the plane.
Hanging out the back of the intern. He's literally goes full on Nixon.
And the refueling plane breaks away and the fuel line scrapes across Air Force One, which causes the fuel to ignite and blows up the refueling plane.
Yep.
Which then explodes. There's a big even though the plane was in front of them, but now when it blows up, it's now behind them.
Weirdly.
Explosion. I mean, I guess it stopped technically when it blew up.
I guess so.
There's no momentum, and so Harrison Ford is there, dangling out the back of an aeroplane with a big explosion going behind him.
But he's saved. William H. Macy saves him, doesn't he?
As the shifty guy.
Gibbs. Gibbs. Briggs.
At that point, he could have just shoved William H. Macy and the president out of the plane.
Yeah, been like, there you go, done.
But no, he pulls them both.
Even gives the guy, like, the terrorist plane, because William H. Macy is like, we have to save him, he's our president. And that makes no sense, but he's like, okay, then save him. And then shifty Gibbs or whatever is like, just gives him a wink and he's like, all right, you save him too. Why?
I don't know. So they pull him back in, but obviously the terrorists are there. Now they have the president hostage.
Yes.
Hello, I have hostage the president of the United States of America. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, no. So Gary Oldman and Harrison Ford, the president, they finally meet. It's not quite Gruber meeting McClane.
No.
It's pretty bad. And Gary Oldman just decides to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah. Harrison Ford actually looks really fucking angry in this fucking scene. Because Gary Oldman is literally just like grabbing his face. And you can see his fingers digging into his fucking face. And he's just like pushing him up against all these buttons and stuff. Like on the thing. And it looks wildly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, and he's just screaming in like Harrison Ford's face. And I mean, Ford is renowned as being quite a sort of grumpy fella sometimes. Yeah. Like, so yeah, I don't imagine he enjoyed that scene much at all.
But whilst he's throwing him around, Harrison Ford manages to pick up a piece of broken glass with his hands that are tied behind his back. Ah, the old classic broken glass trick.
Well, he is a veteran.
Yeah, so he hangs on to that. And yeah, so Gary Oldman's just throwing him around, beating him up, shouting at him, I hate capitalism! Is basically what he's saying for 5 minutes while he beats him up. And then the president agrees to free the dictator.
Well, he says he's going to kill. He makes him. He says you've got to choose either your wife or daughter. I'd kill one of them. And he goes, "All right, I'll do it."
Yeah, even though I don't have that power, it's up to the president of Russia who said he wouldn't do it. But now
I'll make the call.
Yeah. And meanwhile, he's going to free the president.
Yeah.
Sorry, the dictator. He's going to free the dictator.
Al from Quantum Leap has now got a petition. And yes. He's going around collecting signatures. Yes. He's like, sign it if you love me.
Yeah. Yeah. So the idea is...
Tick yes or no.
They think that... No, he's trying to... Basically, is it like Article 25 where the vice president would become...
Yeah.
She would become president. Yeah, it's changed president. Now.
He's given up on like... He's like his own like, people thing, don't yeah. like me as much. Like, yeah. Maybe Glenn Close should be in charge.
But yeah, the idea is the president... may or may not be dead, but even if he's alive, he might not be. He's emotionally compromised and cannot do presidential duties. So they're going to invoke this Article 25, and all they need is Glenn Close to sign it, and then she can make all the decisions.
Shoot the plane down, yeah, finally.
Basically. But she doesn't do it.
No.
But honestly.
She nearly does.
Yeah.
And then she realizes that she can't spell a name or something. Yeah. Like, oh no.
No, I can't. It. I'm too loyal to him. I would sign it in a heartbeat. I'm like, yeah. Like, right.
No worries.
Shoot it down. Done.
Yeah,
that's it.
I mean, there's only five people left on this plane.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I
mean, like five compared to the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll sign that. Yeah, blow it up. Done. Fuck it. So anyway, the dictator is freed.
Now when they let him out of his cell, is he having a shit?
I don't know.
It looks like he sat on the toilet from where, like, because you only see the top half of him, and there's definitely a toilet in, like, behind him.
I don't know.
And he kind of just, like, stands up. And I'm like,
I was just going to say he's freed from Dracula's castle.
Like, yeah, it is a horrendous, like, the worst prison.
Yeah.
It's like Shawshank.
It's just worse than that. It's like, oh, Jesus. This is what a gulag looks like. No thanks. I think that was in real life, but that's like an actual prison in Ohio somewhere they used.
It looks quite similar to the one they used in The Walking Dead for that season.
Ah, maybe it does look similar. Maybe. Back on the plane, the president is freeing himself with the broken glass.
Yeah.
And he does. And then
they're like, said you were gonna let us go if you made the call. And he's like, well, you'd have to forgive me. I lied.
Forgive me, I lied. Yeah.
So now I assume they're just going to use the president to get stuff that they want now. Yeah. Now that they've figured out that he'll negotiate. So they're going to get like top of the range fax machines.
Yeah, they're going to take him to Kazakhstan, get a load of goats. get whatever they want. But he frees himself with the broken glass from earlier and he starts taking on armed men.
Yeah.
And it all kicks off. He kills the pilot, Spider-Man's landlord.
Yep.
And then a staffer takes a bullet for the president.
The chief of staff.
In the most dramatic way possible.
Like, it's not in slow motion, but he thinks it is. So he's like, no! And everyone else is like, what are you doing?
It's fucking ridiculous. Also, who cares? Even Dean Stockwell mentions in the previous scene that the office of president is more than just a guy.
Man.
Yeah, it's more than just a bloke. Mm. Like, we can just get another one.
Yeah.
Which will be you. You're sat here ready to go. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
We've got reality TV stars waiting to be president.
It doesn't matter if he dies. We'll just get another one really quickly. But you know, this guy is these people still taking bullets for him. And then Harrison Ford shoots Gary Oldman. He falls down the stairs, dragging the first lady with him. Yep. And then he runs off downstairs with the first lady and he's been shot.
Back down to baggage.
Yeah. Baggage back we go. Meanwhile, back at Castle Dracula, a helicopter has arrived to pick up the dictator.
Yeah.
And they've got his little uniform, which even though he was arrested in his nightgown, but whatever.
Yeah. They brought it just in case this would happen.
Gary Oldman, back on the plane, heads downstairs to the parachute bay. With
he's
the first lady.
All the parachutes
he starts throwing all the parachutes out, apart from the one he's wearing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's got a parachute on.
Yeah.
He's going to go.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone's dead. He's the only one left.
Yeah.
He's going to go. And he's got the first lady. The president's coming to stop him. And he's like, no, I've got a gun here. No, I'm going to shoot her.
Yeah.
Let me go. Right. Yeah, I'm off. And then the first lady knocks the gun out of his hand. And the president jumps him and they wrestle and they fight. Why? Why don't you just let him go? It will all be over.
Yeah.
Like that you can't have hostages.
To be held accountable.
Yeah, but you can't have hostages if there's no hostage taker.
Yeah.
He's the last one. Once he's off the plane, it's all over. But then, no, I'm going to risk my life and my wife's by wrestling this man out the back of a fucking plane.
No, if he lets him go, he lives to fight another day to unite Russia. or whatever.
That's not going to happen.
No, probably not.
No. They're just like, literally, if he jumped out the plane, the guy says, yeah, get back on the phone. Yeah, tell him to stick him back in jail because that guy's gone now. And that'll be it. But no, he's got to fight him. And then he wraps a piece of
like seatbelt or something.
Yeah, around his neck. And there comes a line, get off my plane. And he pulls a parachute and Gary Oldman's neck is snapped.
Yeah.
And his dead body just parachutes out the back.
I know. And then in stark contrast to Fax Lady having the time of her life floating past the camera, we get dead Gary Oldman floating past the camera as he goes down. Back on the plane, they have no pilot now.
No.
No.
Well, with the president, sorry, yeah. Yeah, they got no pilot. Harrison Ford quickly gets on the phone.
Yep.
And he's like, yeah, the terrorists are gone. I killed them. Could have let them go, but they're definitely gone now. Anyway, kill the dictator. And as the dictator's about to get on the helicopter, they just open fire and murder him.
Yeah.
He's like,
well, he's like, put him back in jail. He's like, well, and he starts legging it. So and they're like, oh, just shoot him.
Yeah.
And
so then, he's killed dead.
And there's much rejoicing in the Situation Room.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's like, yay, he's dead in Russia. Yay, he's dead. And then they do this horrible, weird, spinny roundy shot really nauseating.
What is that about?
Just out of nowhere. It doesn't fit in with any of the rest of the film.
It's like a drunk child
spinning around.
Like, why?
Awful.
So now the president and William H. Macy have to fly the plane.
Yeah.
Shifty guy is still there, by the way.
Still there.
It still hasn't made his move.
He's played the longest game. The longest game.
But there's MiGs that are coming after them because they're in Ukraine. They've been launched from some Ukrainian air bases. So they notice this and they call in the Top Guns.
Yeah, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, the Top Guns. They're sent in to engage with the MiGs.
Yep.
And it all kicks off and there's like a little, you know, battle. The plane gets shot and the engine's on fire. One of the Top Guns takes a missile for the president.
You said about the chief of staff being dramatic. This is the same shot, but in a plane. Yeah. It's really weird.
The guy's like, just like,
he's like, going in.
Here I go.
And he fucking flies his plane upwards. And it's like, literally, if it was a human, it'd be like, no, when it's a plane.
Yeah, he takes a missile for the president. Like, why would you do that?
I mean, that bloke definitely has like a wife and kids at home.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, he blows himself up.
For the president.
For the president.
Didn't even vote for him. Jesus Christ. Basically, after the firefight, the dogfight, Air Force One can't land.
No, the tail is fucked.
It's fucked. The engine's fucked. Fuel's running out. Tail's fucked. And
despite them saying earlier on that it could withstand a nuclear blast, I mean, it's taken a lot of bullets.
Yeah, and
it's fucked.
Yeah. At this point, though, when they realise it's fucked and Harrison Ford is there in the cockpit with William H. Macy and they're like, oh, it's fucked. And his daughter comes over. She's like, Daddy, it'll be okay. What?
Nope.
And it's like,
we're definitely dying.
It's like, what are you? All right. I mean, it won't. Go sit back down. What a weird thing for a 12-year-old to say. Daddy, it'll be okay. Shut up. Go look at your refugee pictures, you fucking weirdo. So they've come up with this plan. A mid-air rescue.
Yeah.
Right. The idea is a plane's going to come along and they're going to zip line from Air Force One to the other plane.
After he's like had that that pilot is like, just want to tell you, sir, you did great.
Oh yeah, yeah, the one in the fighter jet.
Yeah, in the fighter jet. Obviously, great just job. To tell you, great job, sir. You did great. I love you.
Yeah,
so weird.
My best friend's dead.
Yeah, I took a missile for you, but you did great.
And he gives him a little salute out the window.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of people have died for you.
I also didn't vote for you. But yeah.
We could have shot you down like hours ago and all of this would have been over and only a handful of people would have died.
Yeah.
But you know.
But now Bobby's dead.
Yeah. And how am I going to explain that to Bobby Jr.
Yeah.
And Bobby
little Bob Job. Ob Job.
Little Miss Bobby.
Little Miss Bobby. Mrs. Bobby and Bobby Jr. They're all at home right now having a barbecue.
With his wife, Bobolina.
Yeah. I gotta go home. It's like, oh, wow, here comes Scotty. Is Bobby with you? Well, little Bobolina, I'm afraid your daddy couldn't make it, but he died doing what he loved, flying planes into missiles. Hoo-ah!
Did you see him when he went? Yeah, he was like, no.
And then he was on fire. But the important thing is,
his head came past.
The president, who's a Democrat, is okay. Anyway. So yeah, they're going to try this mid-air bollocks, yeah, where they're basically going to zip line out of Air Force One to another plane.
Yep.
The vice president has gathered all of the press around to listen in on this, by the way.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
Like, at all. I mean, when anything happens, it's like, get the press to fuck off,
yeah,
like, and we'll sort it out, and we'll tell them what they need to know. But no, they're like, come in,
yeah,
gather around.
He might die.
Yeah, you watch it live as it unfolds. Some of you sit cross-legged at the front. There's plenty of room. Come along. It's so weird.
So yeah, the plane is running out of fuel, the engines are fucked, and obviously the plane they're ziplining to has to stay lower than them because, yeah, of gravity. So they're running out of fucking space, basically.
Yeah, because, yeah, it's running out of fuel and everything else. It's just heading, yeah, to the ground.
So they zipline a couple of people out. The president, like, they get there and they're like, Mr. President, you're first. No,
get everybody else off first.
It's like, no, I don't. In reality, I don't think you have a choice.
Yeah.
You definitely go first. They will force you.
You're the president.
But now he's just like, no, here's my pointy finger because I'm Harrison Ford. I'm not going first. Take my family. So yeah, a few people get off. And all that's left on the plane is the president, William H. Macy, and Shifty Guy.
Yep.
Shifty Guy finally makes his move.
Makes his move after, like, the whole film has happened.
All of his, like, fucking fellow, you know, comrades, they're all dead.
Yeah.
He's got no hope. But he could literally just get off the fucking plane. Well, he actually can't. But
at this point, I'm like, thank God. I really want to know what this guy's motivation is. Why he's like, because he's obviously been entrenched in this job for a long fucking time. He's trusted.
Yeah.
And I'm like, finally, we find out why he's doing this. So yeah, and he kills William H. Macy.
Yeah.
And then the president is like, I trusted you with my life. And he goes, so will the next president.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's good. Okay, where are we going with this? And then he gets punched.
Yep.
And then basically the president gets out and leaves him on the plane. Yep. And then you have that really comical fucking... You see him in the doorway.
Yeah, crying.
And he's like, no! And the plane fucking hits the water and he pings out. We never find out why. Why he did...
Apparently in the book, you do.
Well, I would have.
There is a lot more to it. He was a secret squirrel agent during the Cold War.
Right.
And it's something to do with that. And he was.
He was a sleeper agent.
Yeah, he was a sleeper agent in the Cold War, was Agent Gibbs. And when it ended, he was then, I think, shafted by the government a bit. And he got the Secret Service detail, but he still had so many, like, connections to the Soviet Union, and that is that's not saying it's his motivation, but there was supposed to be a lot more to that character.
Yeah, but in this film it makes no fucking sense.
Basically, he looks shifty for 2 hours and in the last 2 minutes decides, like, yeah, I'm making my move now, and shoots William H. Macy and then dies.
Here's some guns, everyone. Back to being a hostage. And then he just, like, every now and again, he gives them a wink.
Yeah.
Let's see, you know, he's still bad. Because it's quite easy to forget that he is, like, on the bad guy's side. Like, but every time he does that wink, you're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he's a bad guy, isn't he? Yeah. So, he dies. President gets out safely. Yay, America. Yay, the president.
Yeah.
The end.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's that horrible fucking line at the end, because the call sign of the plane that's rescuing them is Liberty 24.
Yeah.
And they're like, just tell us, have you got the president? Everyone's on tenterhooks.
Yeah.
Like, have you got the president? And in case the pilot goes, Liberty 24 is changing its call sign. They're like, fucking what? And he's like, Liberty 24 is now Air Force One. Like, but have you got the president? Yes, we've got the president. Just say that.
But the script.
Yeah. But I was being cute.
Yeah.
You were being a dick.
But I was being all yay America. That's not very dramatic.
It's not the time.
Oh,
the world is watching.
Listening in. We've gathered everyone to listen. Just in case the president dies. Is he dead? What? Oh, no. He's fine. He's here. Do you want to speak to him?
Living 2-4 is changing its call sign to the president is dead. Sorry. Look. Yeah, it's just fucking stupid.
So what did you think?
This has got to be one of the dumbest films ever made. It's 2 hours long.
Yeah.
And yet still feels quite rushed. Like there's just so much missing. Like Xander Berkeley's whole character, the fucking development is just MIA.
Yeah.
Like it's just not there. And that pissed me off all through the film. Like every time I saw him, I was like, why?
What are you thinking?
What's your deal? And then when he just fucking, it's such a throwaway sort of death. He's the last one to die, which should have some sort of impact, but you're just like, but why?
He didn't do anything for 2 hours.
Not at all.
Yeah,
it's so fucking dumb. It's so fucking yay America.
Yeah, it's really like generic, and it is just Die Hard on a plane.
Oh, absolutely.
But like I said, it's the whole thing of like, oh, where could he? He's downstairs. He's literally down. It's like he's in the next room.
Yeah,
just go in there and kill him. Just go and get him. Oh, what are we gonna do? He's evading us. He's such a brilliant like military mind. He's a medal of. He's just there.
Even when they cut,
he's got nowhere to go either. He could like Die Hard, he can get out and leave the building if he wants. He's going nowhere. Go and fucking get him.
Climbing around in the duct, like in the air ducts and stuff. Like he's just every time they cut, he's like, this man is evading us, and they cut to him just stood in the corridor. He's not even hiding.
He's such a sleuth. He's there like, how do you walk this phone?
Yeah. Just sat cross-legged in the middle of the corridor, just reading the instructions. Oh, fucking hell.
Oh Christ. It was Gary Oldman's quite entertaining.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford is not. Harrison Ford's terrible in this.
Looks like he hates it. Like he hates every second of it and should actually hate it. Yeah.
Some fun bits of trivia for you. The real Air Force One does not have escape pods or parachutes or enough for everyone to get off.
Right.
So that's.
So what happens if it crashes? Then
they die. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, basically. Kevin Costner was originally going to play the president, but he was too busy with the postman.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I think given the two.
Yeah. I mean, I think Kevin Costner probably would have enjoyed making that film more than Harrison Ford did.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but it's still stupid.
The original score, which was rejected, was composed by, ready?
Go on.
Randy Newman.
What, of Toy Story?
Yeah. Gonna get on the plane. Get the president on the plane.
You got a friend in me.
Here comes the missile. Gonna fly into the missile. Boom, boom. Yay, America. they rejected his score, unsurprisingly. But apparently, he reused some of his rejected score for Toy Story 3. No, Toy Story 2, sorry. I don't know which bits, but...
I'm going to have to watch Toy Story 2 like all over again I'll just figure that out. I want to hear that whole soundtrack now just for that film. I want them to replace it. Like, it should be an extra on, like, the Blu-ray or something. The Randy Newman cut.
I think Randy Newman should have had a role. I think he should have played the William H. Macy's role. I actually, like, this film is just ripe for, like, a parody. Why didn't they do a parody of this with, like, Leslie Nielsen back in the day?
I
don't know. It would have been fucking hilarious. It would
have been amazing.
But I think this should be remade as a parody, but with, like, Danny McBride as the president. And it's just, like, full-on comedy. It'd be fucking brilliant. Bill Clinton was a big fan of this film, who was the president at the time when this came out. As was
Bill Clinton, probably fucking watched this film all the time, thinking, that's what I do.
Yeah, hot dog. Yeah. As is Donald Trump.
Ah, well, of course he is.
The line,
like fucking, he definitely have all those guns on the plane.
There's a line Donald Trump said in an interview where he was talking about it. He's like, Harrison Ford on the plane, he stood up for America. And someone relayed this to Harrison Ford, and yeah. Harris in an interview, and Harrison Ford looked straight down the camera and said, "Donald, it's a movie. It's not real." Comments. I remembered this time.
I only got a couple.
So did I. Where'd I put them? One from Brandy Mitchell, which just said, "Get off his plane." One from Stark2490. Fun film. It's like Die Hard on a plane, with the hero stuck on the plane, not the missus.
I had Toby Lamb said, loved it first time I saw it. Then I watched it again recently.
Yeah, as a kid, I quite enjoyed this.
Yeah, when I first saw this, probably when it first came out, I thought this film was great. Yeah, not so much now. Luke Gray said, I like when Gary Oldman shouts, shut up, really loudly and very un-Russian.
Lol. I mean, he just sounds like, I think he's doing the same voice as he did in Dracula for this.
Vampire.
Well, thanks for those. That was Air Force One.
It was.
Who
it
was
indeed.
What a ride. Thank you, and join us next time, and don't forget to like and subscribe. Said all that, I think, but I always forget, if whatever.
Yeah. Do all those things.
Yes. Press buttons. Thank you and goodbye.
See ya.
Well, thank you all for coming here tonight and drinking all of my booze. Oh, really. Please leave. The party's over. Get out.